It was a Saturday morning. The teenagers got up early that day in that house, and they began to do some chores. You know that most teenagers don't do anything unless their parents tell them, right? They got up and began, you know, they were really obedient to their mom and dad that day. For some reason, no arguments took place, you know, and they did exactly what mom and dad told them to do that day. They even cleaned their room on their own. I mean, the parents probably think like, man, the Lord's answering some prayers up in here. But they were doing so many things, you know, and then finally that evening came, and now the parents realized why they did what they did. You know, they got invited to a party, and the teenage kids, they knew that usually mom and dad would not let you go to that party. So they did all that work, which is nice. They did great things, good things, but they did it to bribe mom and dad because they wanted to go to a party, which usually mom and dad say, you're not going. It was going to be late. So they were doing great things for the wrong reason. How many times we do good things with the wrong motives? You know, it makes me think, you know, how many times we do that to God? You see, the same can happen in our relationship with the Lord. We might find ourselves doing Christian things, but for the wrong reasons, with the wrong motives, perhaps because we want to bribe God. You see, it's interesting because Jesus spoke about this in the famous Sermon on the Mount. If you know your Bibles very well, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is a whole sermon. And Jesus talked about so many things that, you know, the Beatitude, blessed are the poor in the spirit. That's Matthew 5. Then in chapter 6, he talks about some things that he calls acts of righteousness. And there he addresses that issue that sometimes people do a lot of religious things, and the reason they do it is it's different from praising God. They might do a lot of religious things for the wrong reasons. And that just caught my attention when I was preaching. It's like, wow, Jesus addressed three things that many of us even do, but I think Jesus is trying to get us to wake up, in a sense, to examine what our motives. Why do we do what we do? Why do we get up early to go to church? Because my mom and dad told me that, in a sense, you're doing a great thing, but that's the wrong motive. I follow Jesus because, you know, I guess everybody else is doing it. You know, following Jesus is great, but you're following it for the wrong reasons. So if you got your Bibles with you, let's spend some time in Matthew chapter 6. And keep in mind, this is Jesus talking to a crowd. I mean, Matthew 5 says that when the crowd came and the disciples came to him, he sat on the mountain and then he began to teach the people. And he taught in so many things. And then now we're going to be in chapter 6. This is also where he taught him how to pray. So he said, be careful. This is the NIV. He said, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. We read the following part there, but let's address this thing that Jesus talks about. The ESV, the blue Bibles we have, start saying, beware that you do not practice your kindness to be seen by men. Beware of practicing your righteousness before others to be seen by them. Now, this idea of acts of righteousness, perhaps you're like, what in the world is that? Some translation would say, be careful that you're not doing your deeds, your good works, just to be seen by people. That's what Jesus is addressing right here. So acts of kindness, righteousness, excuse me, good deeds. Now, these things are great. These things, you are to do it. We ought to do them. They're good. They're great. Remember, Jesus in Matthew 5, verse 16, when he's talking about you are the light of the world, he said this, let your light shine before men that they might see your good deeds or your good works, and glorify your Father in heaven. So in other words, our good deeds are to bring glory to God. But sometimes, We might want some of that glory for ourselves, don't we? Let me say that again. You know, the deeds, the good deeds that we do, they are to be bringing glory to God. But sometimes people want the glory for themselves. Let your light shine before men that they might see, I mean, again, they see the good deeds you're doing, the acts of righteousness that you're doing, and they're going to bring glory to God. But the question that we're addressing here and what Jesus is addressing is that sometimes people might be tempted to do it for their own glory. It's like, look what I've done. It's like in Castaway when the guy said, look what I have created. It's all about me. I'm the greatest, Muhammad Ali, until he got knocked out. Remember that too? And it's like, I mean, you exalt, I mean, even with the things you do, and they're great, but at one time, you might get so cocky, you might get so selfish, like, oh, it's, you know, I'm doing it. That's happening to me. That's, you're doing that because of me. It's like, Jesus said, watch it. Be careful you do not do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. It's like, Now, my friends, are you doing this for the glory of God? Or for your own glory? I mean, everything we do in church, everything we do for the Lord, we have to ask that question. Am I doing this to glorify God, or am I going to do it because I want to look good before people? You might look good before people. You might impress a lot of people, but the only one that's not impressed is God. Are you with me now? So, I mean, people might applaud you because, I mean, and again, some people might benefit. Even they might even benefit from what you're doing, but God's not impressed because, you know, You didn't have the right attitude in doing those things. You know, and Jesus said, be careful, don't do that just to get the applause of people. And guess what? That's exactly your reward, the applause of people. But you don't have no reward from your Father in heaven because your motive was not right. You did not do it to bring glory to God. You wanted the glory for yourself. And that's what Jesus is condemning right here. And he says, so what is your motivation behind everything we do? The things that we do for the Lord, are you doing it to bring glory to God or to impress people? You see, doing the right thing for the wrong reason, like I said, you may impress a lot of people, but God's not impressed with the trophies that we're holding. He knows the intention of our hearts. And if our intention was just to be noticed, I'm going to join the praise team because I want to be on stage. And you are on stage, and people might appreciate your giftedness. God's not impressed with that. And I'd rather impress God than impress people. You know, in our society, we have a lot of people pleaser, don't we? And they do great things, but the thing is, you might be doing a great thing, a good thing, and you might be doing it for the wrong reasons. Like cleaning the room because you want mom and daddy to let you go to the party. Cleaning the room is good. You should do it. You should do it because you love mom and dad, not because you're expecting a gift from them. You know what I mean? Sometimes people go to church because my friends are there. And I want to, so you go to church just to see your friend? I thought I go to church because I want to get close to God. You know, so you see, those are good things, but sometimes we might do it for the wrong reason. And I think that's exactly what Jesus is addressing right here. Be watchful that you do not do your acts of kindness to be seen by men. If you do, then that's all you get. You have no reward. So almost my rewards that God's going to give me, that might be in jeopardy depending on the attitude that I display, depending of the motives that I have. Now, Jesus addressed three things right here in our text. That there are great things to do, and we do them. Some of these things have to do with our relationship with God and our relationship with our fellow man. And some of the things we ought to do it, we should do it. But he's giving us the right way of doing them. And he's also warning us about the wrong way of going about doing these things. The first one he addressed, he says, verse 2, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpet. Do not be blowing your own horns. Oh, you know, I gave so much for that. You know, just said, like, when you give to the needy, don't make a show of your giving. You know, I'm going to give this, you know, because everybody needs to see what I'm giving. That's what Jesus is condemning, right? And you and I know people like that they just want to be announced what they gave and how much they gave. So the three things he addressed right here, giving to the needy, praying, and fasting. Like I said, these are great practices which most religious Jews in those days, they were familiar. They even do that today. But Jesus is challenging us to make sure that we examine our motives, why we do those things. When you give to the needy, he said, do not announce it with trumpets like as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you, Jesus said, they have received the reward. The reward was that they were honored by men. He said, do not, and then he said, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, you don't have to tell some people why you're giving it and to whom you're giving it. So that your giving may be in secret, he says. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. So giving is not meant to be showy. Now the hypocrites, it's interesting. If you were to look up the word hypocrite, you know what the word actually means? Actor. You know, like some of those actors, when you're playing a role, you have to, that's not your personality. You're just doing it because that's your role you're playing. That's where we get the word hypocrites, two-faced individual or somebody who's an imposter, pretender. That's another word. So it said when you give to the needy, don't be a pretender. Like, you know, you want to show off that you're giving all because you want to be noticed by people. Like, wow, man, you gave so much. You are so generous, man. You said, that's the reward you get, Jesus said, but I'm not impressed. You already blew it. You know, and then there's the teaching about giving. Giving to in secret. I love when people sometimes they give and they don't even want to announce, just anonymously. I think that's what Jesus expects. We are to give. We are to help the needy. But don't do it just to be noticed. Don't do it because you want to be accoladed and applauded by other people. Jesus said, when you do it, that's all you get. But you ain't got reward from your Father in heaven. You see, the hypocrites, they gave because they wanted to be praised by others. Now, think about how often do we show this hypocritical attitude in the things that we give to other people. When we give to charity, you know, there's a lot of people that they will give a lot of money to charities because they will claim that in taxes. That's the reason they gave. Not necessarily because they care about the charity and they're helping a lot of people. And yes, you're giving that money and that money is being utilized well. People are going to be helped by that money you gave. But you, on the other hand, the attitude that you went, the way that you gave that money and the attitude you portray, God is not impressed. Even when you're doing something good for some other people, are you understanding what I'm talking about? You might be doing something good for the wrong reasons. And Jesus said, don't do it like the hypocrites. They just want to be noticed. I mean, we would still give a lot of money to church if we would not claim that in taxes. Think about that for a moment. Will we still give that even though that person might not even say thank you to me? I mean, this is the attitude Jesus is addressing with his disciples right here. So when you do your acts of righteousness, do not do it to be noticed by men, he says. Do it in secret, he says. So giving is to be in secret. He says, so when you give in secret, your Father who knows what is done in secret will reward you. Reward from God because you're doing it with the right attitude. God will reward a person who gives with the right motives. Like I said, it is okay to help those in need. We are commanded to help those in need. But we're also commanded to do it with the right attitude. Make sure that it's not for our glory. It's not like, you know, announcing it with trumpets. It's almost like you're blowing your own horn. It's like, hey, look what... It's like, Jesus said, don't do that. That's a hypocritical attitude. Now, another thing that I was noticing when I was preparing the sermon, it's interesting. He used the word hypocrites 3 times. And he's always in the context of church people. Because it's like he's talking to people that already believe. And when the example that Jesus had was the religious leaders of those days. Those ones that would give to be noticed, to be honored, or they would pray standing up in the street corners. Who were they? Pharisees and Sadducees. I mean, even their clothes, their wore was different. They want to be noticed by people. And Jesus even said when they got invited to a party, they wanted to sit in front. Because they wanted the better place, you know, for them. It's like, hypocritical attitude. Jesus said, don't be like that. He just said, when you're invited to a party, sit in the back. And make people say, hey, no, come here. The hypocritical, the Pharisees were sitting here, and eventually they get moved to the back. Because, you know, they want to be honored by men. How many times we do things because we want people to, you know, to notice us, to see how good we are. So who's getting the glory there? Am I doing it to glorify God or... I want a little bit of that glory too. You know, that was a problem with Satan. Lucifer, according to Isaiah 14, he was one of the greatest, the most beautiful angels that God created. And I think he spent too much time looking himself into the mirror. But man, I look good. And then, you know, there's like seven I's. When people talk like that all the time, I will be like the Almighty. I will do this. I. It's all about you, man. And Jesus said, that's the reward you get. And that selfish attitude says, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpet. Nobody needs to know what you're giving. Do it in secret. And your Father who sees that in secret, he will reward you. And then he addressed another thing. Let's read verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites again. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans do. For they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, Jesus said. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also forgive those who also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So, go back to our text. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness to be seen by man. When you give, do it in secret. That's one of the giving to the needy. The next one that he addresses is praying. Most people will always pray. And we should. The Bible says pray constantly. Do not stop praying. But Jesus said there's people that pray and God might not even listen to their prayer because the motive they use or that they have is just to be noticed. I mean, look at the example of the hypocrites. They were standing in the street corners and in the synagogues to be just so that people would see that they're praying. It's like, I mean, yeah, Jesus is not condemning standing up for prayer. He's condemning the attitude, I'm going to stand up so that people see that I'm praying. So they can see that there was a lady one time that I had to do a little correction because she was so impressed with this man when he prayed. I mean, that guy, he used so many words. I mean, it's almost, you would have thought by the word he used that he was just closer to God than everybody else in town. And, like, so eloquent. And she was like, oh, man, I love when this man prays because I just like, I love to hear that. And I said, don't let that fool you. You see, that man doesn't get along with his wife. And you see how he utters those eloquent words. Mind you, nobody else in the praise team can get along with him because he's a perfectionist and nobody isn't in his level. And so, but yeah, when he prays, man, you think that he might be in the throne of God. Hypocritical attitude. Jesus said, when you pray, don't do it just for a show. To be seen by men standing up in the synagogue. And I've seen people do that today. Like, you're announcing something. You're praying, standing up in the synagogue or the streets so that people can see what you're doing. He said, I tell you the truth, they have received the reward. What was the reward? People got to see you standing up and praying, but then you don't have any reward with God. So again, you're doing something that's good and beneficial to do. You're taking something beautiful, good, something that's right to do, but you're doing it for the wrong reason. You pray just to be seen so that people hear the words you're going to use. Then it defeats the purpose of prayer. When you pray, he said, prayer is something personal. It's something between you and God. God is addressed here as our Father. So you see, there's already a relationship between you, the one praying, and the one to whom you're praying. Let me correct something. People say there's power in prayer? That's a lie. The power is to whom you're praying. Because everybody prays. There are people, I saw a guy this morning, Sheldon, when I picked you up, he was praying to a statue. Tell me there's power praying to a statue. So you see, sometimes there's power in prayer. We have to say, there's power in the one that to whom we're praying. Praying is a communication. You're asking that person who's higher and greater than you to do something on your behalf. The power, not in the prayer, the power is in the one to whom you're praying. Now, there is a wrong way of praying. And Jesus said, don't pray like this just to be seen by people. And sometimes, James says we pray and we do not receive because we don't know how to ask. And again, you see, you need to know how to ask the one you're talking to. God is not in your same ball field. You don't go like, hey, Lord, what's up, man? How you doing? I haven't talked to you in a while, but I just need, who are you to demand something from God? I heard people pray like, Lord, I claim that. You can claim all you want. But it's ultimately, it's going to be up to him to give it to you or not. But people are claiming things as if they have the power. The power isn't the one you're praying. And Jesus is teaching them how. Why do you think he says, our Father, who are in heaven? I mean, you start praising him first. So prayer is something personal between you and God. It's not meant to be showy or like to show off people that how many words you can say, how many Bible verses you can quote. Prayer is something personal. It's between you and God. And that's the whole idea. Jesus said, when you pray, just go into your room. Nobody needs to know. Remember that movie that, what's the name? Prayer. That's a movie. This lady had a closet. War room. She would just go in there. And you know, that was like kind of neat. I mean, you only knew she prayed if you went to her house. It's like, what's this room for? She made that room just for prayer. Now she took that literal. When you pray, go into the closet, close. I mean, Jesus is not saying that you have to make a closet to pray. You can pray anywhere. What he's saying, the attitude that you portray is like, do it between God. It's you and God. You can pray even when you're driving the car, but do not close your eyes, please. But then you're having an attitude with the Lord. Like, you know, we're like, Lord, you know, between you and him. I mean, it's not like you in the car and say, hey, everybody here that's in my car, shut up. I'm going to pray. It's like, I mean, you know, it's like, now. Just pray, man. You don't have to just call attention. There are people that almost, they want to call attention to themselves. You know, it's like, I think that's what Jesus is condemning here. Pray. You know, I've been going to places and I'm content just to be there. You know, I don't even want people to know that I'm a minister because, come and pray. Remember, before we got here, the first year, people in our church, they would not eat food until the minister prayed. And I said, you guys, that's a bad attitude to have because I might not show up and you're all going to go hungry. Don't wait for me to pray for the food because somebody else can pray. But, you know, we have the idea it has to be the minister because apparently the minister is closer to God than everybody else. Let me see Jesus say it has to be the minister praying. Hold on. When you pray, he says. So it's like, don't be like the hypocrites just to be showy, whatever, you know. He says, it's between you and God. Go and your Father who knows what you're asking him, he will reward you. And I love that phrase. It says, he already knows what you need before you ask him. And that's your question. But why do we need to ask then if he already knows? Because sometimes you might not know what his will is. And it will not happen. He will not reveal that to you until you start talking to him. I mean, yeah, he already knows. And it's like, God said, yeah, you still don't get it. I'm not going to give it to you because you're still not getting it. So he already knows what we need before we even ask. But he still expects us to ask him. It's like mom and dad. They already know what you need. They already know. But they were not going to give you everything you want. You know, sometimes we confuse our needs with our want. Lord, I want this, but you don't need it. So he said he's going to meet all your needs and not necessarily all the things you want. So, he said, do not be like them. Oh, the other thing Jesus condemned, do not keep on babbling. Now, some translations said, do not be using meaningless words. I know religious groups that they just like, it's a repetition. I call them program prayers. Even the Lord's Prayer has become we say this prayer at funerals. And that wasn't Jesus' intention. It's almost like, and it's like, we learn certain prayers. I mean, we teach our kids, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know, and there's no, in Jesus' name, you know, and the, you know, it just, things that we learn. Jesus said, when you pray, do not keep on using meaningless words or babbling like the pagans because they're going to think they're going to be heard because of their many words. He said, do not be like that. Just like repetition. Like, it's like, I mean, prayer should be, it's not mechanic. It should be a conversation with the one that you're talking to, with God. I mean, did you talk like that to your husband and wife? Or to you? I mean, it's a conversation with him. Lord, you know, I really need you, man. I really need you, Lord. And forgive me. I sin and pray, talk to him. If it's your Father, go and ask him. And then that's why Jesus then, according to Matthew, he taught him, verse 9, this is then how you pray, our Father. So we're talking about this relationship between father and child. And please, if you had a bad father, God is not like that. He's the ultimate Father. It's like you go to him and he loves you. Our Father who art in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us now. You see, but what happens is when we pray, usually it's like, Lord, give me, we don't even forget, we don't even praise him before we start telling them, I need this. You know, I mean, we all done it. Lord, I come to you because I need it. I got a problem right here, but you have not even said, Lord, thank you that you're such a great God and you're a good father. So Jesus is giving us a model, a pattern how to pray. Praise God. And now you talk about your needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. Forgive us our trespasses that we forgive those who trespass against us. That's another thing about that prayer. We tell God to forgive us the same way that we forgive other people. Forgive us as we forgive. So in other words, if you're not forgiving, God might not forgive you. Forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Deliver us from the evil. And some translations say, for thou is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The model prayer. Jesus told the disciples how to pray. Now, verse 14 through 15, there's a connection between forgiveness and prayer right there. Sometimes we don't read that part, but listen to what Jesus said. This is Jesus again talking. He says, for you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So, unforgiving attitude can't keep your prayers from being heard by God. If you not forgive men when they sin, then God's not going to forgive you in the context of prayer. And it goes back in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, when you're offering a gift to the altar and then you remember, do you have some issue with somebody? Go and be reconciled because before you offer that gift to the altar. So Jesus is showing us the right way of doing that for your prayers to be right with him. Prayer, great things to do. We should do it all the time. It's the right thing to do, but make sure that we're not doing it for the wrong reasons, to be noticed by people. The other thing that Jesus addressed in this discourse, in this sermon, is fasting. Giving to the needy, praying, and fasting. Three things that he calls it, acts of righteousness or good deeds that should be done. But we have to be careful not to do those things for the wrong reasons. Fasting is so relevant right now because, you know, there's a lot of people that they went through a 40-day, they call Lent thing, and they fast because somebody told them to fast. Or we fast because it's in the calendar. Jesus said, don't do it because it's in the, that's the reward you're doing it. Let's read that part. It says, when you fast, do not look somber like the hypocrites do. They disfigure their faces to show men that they're fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you fast, put on oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you fast, don't go like, oh man, yeah, I haven't eaten all day. I'm fasting today. I know people, they do it. Oh, they go like, oh, and just like, hey, what's wrong, man? Oh yeah, I'm fasting, man. Jesus said, that's the reward you got. God is not impressed because he said, the hypocrites would do that. They disfigure their faces so that somebody will ask, hey, what's going on? Oh, I'm fasting. Do you fast? And it's like, now it becomes showy. Jesus said, that's not how you do it. That's a hypocritical attitude. He said, look nice. That day, if you're fasting, look even sharper. Nobody needs to know what you're doing because this is, again, a discipline between you and God. Isn't that interesting? The three things, do it between you and God. Give to the people. Nobody else needs to know what you're giving and to whom you're giving. God already knows. And then when you pray, nobody needs to know, pray between you and God. When you fast, do it between you and God. Like I said, right now, a lot of people fasting because it's in the calendar. It's, you know, and to me, it's like, so you're only going to fast around March or April. And, you know, because it's that time before we get to Easter or the crucifixion. And it's like, So in other words, you don't fast any other, and their fast is like you're giving up something. That's not, what's the purpose of you giving up something? I thought it was to connect with God, but you want to do it because other reasons, other motives. Fasting was a discipline to get closer to God, and we should do it. When you're having issues, you want to be between you and God, people fasted just to connect with God. Chapter 13 of Acts, the church in Antioch fasted because they didn't know what God wanted them to do. And it was through the prayer and fasting that they determined, God say, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas for the work of which I called them, and they let him go. Paul and Barnabas, they determined, it's like, God, talk to us. So when you fast, I mean, you come connecting with God. Fast, not to impress, but to connect. Fast, not to impress people that you, but to connect with the one that can do more than you could ever ask or imagine. Fasting, when you say, look sharp. Nobody else needs to know. It's between you and God. And the Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. We may be doing good things for the wrong reasons. Like I was giving you examples. Some people, I want to join the praise team because I want to be on stage. So your reason is you want to be on stage. You want people to notice you. Or you want to sing a song because you want people to tell, wow, you got such a beautiful voice. If that's your reason, that's all you got. People will admire your voice, but God is not impressed. He gave you that voice anyways. And he wants you to use that voice for his glory. It's, you know, you're drawing attention. And, you know, my friends, that sometimes is very easy to do. Like, draw attention to yourself, but always give God the glory. Because he's the one that provided those things. So I'm going to do those things for so that people will notice me. I'm gonna start that ministry because maybe nobody else has done it. So the reason is because nobody else has done that ministry. You want to start because you want people to say, oh, he started that ministry. And Jesus said, well, you know, great things to do, but you got it for the wrong reason. You started that because the Lord might use, and you know, you started that because that's what you feel God's calling you to do. Not because, I want to do that because nobody else is doing it. Again, maybe what you want to do is great, but you're doing it for the wrong reason, the wrong motives, and you have to examine that. I want to do it because I want the glory. You see, I was just thinking, don't pray, don't read the Bible because the preacher tells you to read it. I mean, you know, reading the Bible is great, but some people read it because the preacher is always nagging them about reading them. And it's like, do it because you really want to connect with God. You really want to develop, to work in your relationship with him. And then he sees that, it's like, yes, that's how I want you guys to behave. That's how I want you guys to do it. You see, our deeds are intended to bring glory to God. But when done with the wrong motives, when we do our deeds to bring glory to ourselves, then we defeat our purpose. God doesn't get honor. And guess what? We count those gifts, we count those deeds against ourselves. Did you know that we're going to be judged and evaluated based on our gifts, based on our deeds, based on the things we do? Jesus said in Revelation 22:12, behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me, and I will give to each one according to what he has done. Now, do you notice that Jesus said, when you do that, if you do it like this, you don't have your reward in heaven? In other words, you lose that reward in heaven because you did it with a hypocritical attitude. Your reward in heaven will not be showing account to you because you lost it because you did it just for your glory, not for God. Our deeds will be rewarded. I mean, Jesus said, I will give to each, I mean, people are going to be judged based on what they've done. Remember the story when it says, Lord, didn't we, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat, but you gave me something to eat. When did we give you something to eat, Lord? Because you did it to one of these. Those are deeds, works that we are to do. But when we do them, let's not do them just to be noticed. That's what Jesus is addressing right here. So as we doing good things for the wrong reasons won't get you a reward in heaven. Jesus promised to reward his people according to the deeds, according to those acts of righteousness that we do. But we have to make sure that our attitude, our motives are right with him. It's all for you, Lord. I don't want any credit. It's about you. We all instruments. You can utilize us, but always, always may we give you the glory. We don't want none of that. God will not share his glory with anybody. He will share that with us at the end of time. He says, and they will also want to partake of the glory. But meanwhile, as we travel on earth, that's not for us. It is his thing. Now, as we continue to serve God and to work on our relationship with him, we must always remember Jesus' warning to keep us from doing things, doing good things, great things, doing the right things for the wrong reasons or with the wrong motives. Look, listen to Jesus' words again. Watch out. Don't do good works publicly. This is the New Living Translation. To be admired by others, for you will lose your reward from your Father in heaven. Don't do those things to be admired. Doing because you know that's going to bring God glory. If you're doing it for any other reason, then People gonna, you're gonna impress a lot of people, but guess what? The one that you need to impress won't be impressed. It's all for God. And may He bless us, and may we always remember that those things are great things to do, but we gotta always keep in mind not to do those things with the wrong motives or for the wrong reasons.